The essence of the light is to guide our walk. There can be problems outside us. There must not be problem within. Don't protect corruption. Don't edge corruption. Don't face corruption. Expose it. Let light shine on it.
The words that I speak unto you are spirit and life, meant to make you grow. The light of God shines in every heart that desires to know God in His true nature. You are welcome to this divine feast at the table of the Lord as we journey from one level of faith to another by the revelation of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through His minister, we believe you'll be richly blessed.
Our Father, help us. All we've been saying, if you cannot help us, we shall not be helped. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this segment. Bring yourself out of me, Lord. Bring yourself out of me. Help us to see clearly. Help us to hear clearly. Help us to keep staying till your will is done. Holy Spirit, take over. You've helped the others. Help me. Amen. Hallelujah. In looking at this issue of servanthood, there's one thing I want us to know. We see the mentioning of servants, but in Bible times, servants are actually slaves. When I heard Daddy saying on Wednesday, servants wait in the presence of their masters, they serve their masters. Something leaped within me. I said, you can't serve without understanding of the master. Those two words leaped and took me to the Old Testament. Daddy said, I'm old, Abby. You all heard him when he said so. So if I'm going to the Old Testament, don't worry. You have heard so much of the blasting of righteousness and so on. So take this, my small ones, and join to it. Hallelujah. When you see the writing of Philemon, that man called a servant was actually a slave. In the Old Testament days, when they talk of servants, Hebrew and Greek, they didn't have, let me not say they didn't have that word, but the usage of the word servants in the Bible is mostly for slaves. So if you're asking you to be servants, what are you supposed to be? A slave. A slave. Let's say it the way it should be. Enleru. Loleru. In Yoruba. If a slave owns anything, it belongs to the master. If I have anything, it belongs to my master. Paul calls himself a servant. Where mommy read? I think that's in Luke 27. Let me see 27. For whether is greater he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth, is not he that sitteth at meat, but I am among you as he that serveth from the Lord. Hallelujah. I want us to add just a word to that servant. Let's put it as bond servants. When I heard those words from Daddy on Wednesday, that was what got into me. There's a lot to say about a bond servant. Hallelujah. In Philippians 1:1, we have Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ. To all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. You keep seeing Paul saying he's a servant. He is a servant. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Reverend was saying earlier that is a higher servanthood than move this, do that in church. If you don't have the heart of a servant, doing those things will be tedious, or you'll be doing them with a motive. Hallelujah. Paul called himself a servant. What was he serving? He was a servant of Jesus to serve the people. Jesus Christ himself called himself a servant. Mommy said it when, that was the first thing she said, that God himself is a servant. And Daddy said, God serveth in creation. Or who said it among themselves, among the two? Hallelujah. When Paul was saying, Paul a servant, what was he saying? He was now saying, I was serving somebody before. I had a master. But now the master I have is Christ Jesus. You cannot serve two masters. Some of us are serving two masters. And actually, you are not serving two masters. You are only serving one. Is that possible? To serve God that we know and we have been talking about, and you still serve the devil? No. No mixing up. You will serve only one. And the one you yield to more, like the passage we read in Romans 6, is your real master. No, I'm not serving the devil, Lord. Let heaven judge you. And the Bible even says, judge yourself. Hallelujah. When Paul was talking, he's saying, I was bought by someone before. Now I have a new master. May the Lord help us to know that the servanthood they are calling us to is much more than what we are seeing. When we understand fully what they are calling us to be or to do, you will know that you don't have a choice. May you get to a place where you don't have your own will. Like Reverend said on Wednesday, and I have quoted him, you serve the will of your master. The centurion in Matthew 8, verse 9 says, I'm a man under authority. I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say unto this man, go, and he goeth. What an authority. And to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. But he recognized a head. He recognized Jesus. Beleo, master, the master of all, go and take this verse and chew it very well. Oga master. Panadol extra. You are all in all. Read this place. When you are a master, you had better be afraid. Because there's always a nobody is master of himself. Oh. Look at this man. He said, I'm a man under authority. He recognizes that he's a man under authority. One is above him. But some of us, we get to a position and we don't realize that there should always be someone ahead of us. Do you know that even among your children, there's authority among your children? Each time I look at this verse of scripture, I'm afraid though. He said, I'm a man under authority. I have soldiers. I have servants. Do this, they do it. Don't do this, they don't do it. How submissive are you to the authority you are under? Mr. Servant, you are don't call yourself a master. Don't call yourself a master. You should be afraid when they call you master. You get here, master. You get here, master. You get there, master. People are kneeling down and are rising. They are be afraid. Because we are all supposed to be who? Servants. And who are servants? Slaves. You don't have anything of your own. So let's move on very fast so that I can sit down and give place to. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Let's pick something from there. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, when Paul was talking about marriage, his teachings about marriage, he made these statements from verse 20. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. This passage will give us a better understanding of what I said earlier, that servants are slaves. Look at when Paul was talking here, he said, abide in the same calling. Which calling? Are thou called being a servant? That is, are thou called being a slave? Care not for it. Just serve Christ. But if thou mayest be free, use it rather. Slaves could purchase their freedom in those days. He said, if you could be made free, use it. Just to tell you that this servant he's talking about here is not just the ordinary servant of, I am serving this person. Hallelujah. Let's look at it. For he that is called in the Lord. Are you all called in the Lord? Okay. Being a servant, that is being a slave, is the Lord's free man. So what he was encouraging those who were slaves. If you are a slave, you have a master that bought you. You have a master that bought you. What did he say? He said, you are the Lord's free man. Yes, in Christ you are free, but you are supposed to act as a servant, a slave. Likewise also he that is called being free is Christ's servant. So either you are a slave of somebody or you are a free man, you are the Lord's servant. You are servant. You are a servant. Either you are a slave or you are not a slave. What are we all? Servants. We are to move in such a way, follow the process, follow whatever we are also supposed to follow, and begin to serve in the dimension that is higher than physical things. Your service starts from your heart anyway, if you don't know. If you are not serving from your heart, you are only following motions, which doesn't have any reward. Hallelujah. Then in verse 23, ye are bought with a price. Be not the servants of men. Where are we supposed to be serving? We are supposed to be the servant of Christ. Don't be the servant of men. But it's in serving men that we know that you are the servant of Christ. Hallelujah. Now let's go quickly to Exodus chapter 21. In Exodus chapter 21, from verse 2, in those days, they were allowed to buy slaves. This thing is coming to my heart like the second or third time. Those of you that want to go to the Arab countries, I'm talking to my daughters, and even some of you sons. You want to dodge out of church and just go, you vanish. Don't go and turn yourself into a sex slave. It's a warning. Some of your friends that are sending money home, they will never tell you what they are doing in Dubai or Abu Dhabi. God forbid, kidnapping. Those girls, they refused to release. What did they turn them to? Sex slaves. Some of our fine girls that went, they are sex slaves. They've been paid for. They want to sell a woman so they can do with them what they like. For adventure, somebody is here new. I don't know. First time, second time, third time. Slavery is still very, 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 very seriously being practiced in the Arab nation. And who are their slaves? Not the white skin, though. You and I. Even some that are married. Some married women that go, but they will never come back and tell you what the eyes see. Okay. So Exodus 21, are you there? Even among the Hebrews that were children of God, if thou buy an Hebrew servant, can you see? Even among the Israelites, they still have slaves. I think that Matthew 18, where it was talking about somebody was owing, somebody wasn't owing. Let's have a look at this. There are Hebrew slaves, even among the children of God. Don't become a slave of man. But we have seen that we are supposed to be servants of Christ. If thou buy an Hebrew servant, God is good. He is always thinking about how to make us good, how to make us free. Peradventure, some fell into a situation where they became a servant. 6 years he shall serve. Oh, what a good God. And in the seventh, he shall go out free for nothing. That's the year of Jubilee. Let him go out free for nothing. Next verse, please. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master have given him a wife, this is where the cocoa, and she have borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her masters. En leru lo leru. Ile mini mo ti kun eni yawo to ti bi mo. You cannot go out with them. What Laban almost did for Jacob. Because Laban was saying, these are my daughters and these are my children. What do you think he was claiming claim on? In canton le claim on ni. Was he there with Rachel and Leah? Was he not in Laban's house? He got them. So Laban was laying hold on this. They are my sons. They are my daughters. The wife and her children shall be her masters, and he shall go out by himself. Huh? Amen. Some of the men are laughing. No, you are a free man. Make you they go your own. Jeje. This woman with all these children, they'll be my own. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master. Is it master he loves first? But this place is saying, if he shall say, I love my master. This issue of love is playing a key in what I'm bringing out. I will not go out free. Oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. Then the master shall bring him unto the judges to say, I'm not the one that forced this man to stay. Oh, you are witnesses. He shall also bring him to the door. After taking him to the judges, maybe at the gate, he shall not bring him to the door of that house or onto the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an owl, and he shall serve him forever. This is what we should be to God and to Christ. Now, let's look at it. This passage is not preaching against hearing. Before here, Abraham had existed, Abby. Sarah had existed. Where did Abraham's servant, where did he get all the jewelries he gave to Rebecca and the mother? So if they have given you this, it all pattern. Wani awon eru o na lu eti e emi o nse eru o Okay. Now let's go to my second passage, Deuteronomy 15 from verse 12. And if thy brother, an Hebrew man or an Hebrew woman, be sold unto thee and serve thee 6 years, then the seventh year thou shalt let him go free from thee next. And when thou sendest him out free from thee, thou shalt not let him go empty. Hey! When I got to this place, I said, my Igbo brethren, both are to you. Let's read. Thou shalt furnish him liberally out of thy flock. You can now see how Jacob got his wealth. And out of thy flour, what are in thy flour? The grains. And out of thy winepress, and of that wherewith the Lord thy God hath blessed thee, thou shalt give unto him. Don't let anybody leave your house empty. Somebody is leaving your house to be married. There should be something the person is going with. There should be relics of love. Let me put it that way. We are talking about love. We are talking about servants. Somebody had lived in your house and wedded. Somebody had lived in your house and is going to another place. The Lord will help us. Amen. I love this practice. Say, you know, this is how Igbos got their wealth. After serving their master, the master opens another shop for them. And anything they don't have, they will say, I'm going to my second shop. Not so they talk. Or if the master doesn't have, say, go down there. My second shop is there. They always have second shop. There is always a second shop. The second shop is either for the master or the second shop is for the person that served them. There should be a flow of material among us. There should be a flow, not just material things. Who was talking to, I think it was Pastor Lydia that was talking of, you should have to give to distribute. There should be enough in me to give. There should be enough to distribute. Please. And thou shalt remember that thou was a bond man. Can you see the bond man now? In the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee. Therefore, I command thee this thing today. Next one. And it shall be, if he say unto thee, I will not go away from thee. This should be our resolve today. I am a bond servant, Lord. I want to be bond. When you are bound to somebody, you are given to that person, you are inseparable. From time to time, we should make this commitment. No matter what comes, I'm not leaving you, Jesus. Cause my heart to stay. Every time, cause my heart to stay. And it shall be, if he say unto thee, I will not go away from thee, because he loveth thee and thy house. We should love the brethren so much that it pains us to move away. We've seen people moving away from this assembly. For some, we don't have good stories to tell. Am I saying this is the only assembly on earth? No. I said some, for some, not all. I will not go away from thee. May you not go away from the Lord. Because he loveth thee, you must love thine house, because he is well with thee. There are times the devil shifts our gaze, and we don't even know when he's taking us. We don't know when we are taking. Because you are not observant. If this man says, I am going nowhere. I am going nowhere. The first passage we read, maybe we could say, because of his wife and children. But look at this. I am not going away from thee. Because I love you. I love your house. That's the issue Eliezer had. There was a bond. A bond servant doesn't leave his master. doesn't go anywhere. Where you go, I go. Ruth and Naomi. Where you die, I die. Your God shall be my God. In servanthood, we need to get to that point. Next verse, please. Then thou shalt take an oath and thrust it through his ear unto the door, and he shall be thy servant forever. And also unto thy maid servants thou shalt do likewise. And it shall seem hard unto thee when thou sendest him away free from thee, for he hath been worth a double hired servant for thee in serving thee 6 years, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thou doest. This is talking about a Hebrew slave and his master. But I'm bringing it out to us to know that we are supposed to be like this bond servant. What is the meaning of that taking to the door and taking an oath and piercing the ear? It's similar to what we have heard today. Christ must be formed in us. Christ must be tattooed in us. It's that formation that makes us not to be able to live. When you have enough, when he's built solidly in you, it becomes so hard for you. Impossible. You become inseparable from the Lord himself. It takes you to the doorpost or the door is entrance. You can enter. You can come out. I have brought you to the entrance of life. You enter, you partake of what is inside. You go out, you share with others. You come back to be refilled. Ear. What is ear used for? Two things from my biology. You use ear to hear and you use ear to balance. If I'm tripping and I want to fall, if my ear is sharp, I won't fall. There is a small organ in my ear that controls my balancing. Are we listening to me? The ear is pierced at the door so that he can hear the voice of the master that is within. With the ear, he hears. With the ear, he's able to balance himself in the house of the master. He neither falls this way nor this way. That is you. That should be you. That should be me. I should become bonded to the master. A bond slave. A bond servant. The door. I hear the master. When I hear him, I do his will. And the last part of what I have to share. Mommy already shared it. In Romans chapter 6. Hallelujah. I don't know what has been ministered to you. When I was looking at this Romans 6, I said, those who said, once saved, saved for forever. You can do anything. Oh, you want, we have chapter 6 in Romans. Maybe they have removed it from their own Bible. Blindness is not good. Abby? Blindness is bad. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Don't worry, I'm not going through the chapter again. Just to point out one or two things. He said, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? What I want to bring out is, know ye not. Am I here, Nata? Know ye not. Don't you know? Have you opened any? Are you a fool? My attention was drawn to know ye not in this chapter. In fact, please, let's read this chapter and digest it. That verse 3 said, know ye not. Don't you know? Which means you ought to have known. When you get to verse 6, he said, knowing this. If I say knowing this, it means I ought to have known it. It ought to have been part of me. Hallelujah. Verse 9 says, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead. These are knowledge that ought to have been put in you. And when we get to verse 16, know ye not. It's a challenge now. Don't you know this? You ought to have known. And what did he start chapter 7 with? Another, know ye not. Chapter 7, verse 14. For we know that the law, may you not be ignorant. The Lord shall help us. We shall be bonded, inseparable. Nothing, neither height, nor depth, nor what and what, Romans chapter 8, shall be able to separate us.
We believe you've heard the voice of the Lord by virtue of the words that has come unto you. Why don't you make it a date with us in any of our meetings? You can join us on Wednesdays for special teaching with Reverend Busuyi Olabode by 5 p.m. and Sundays by 8 a.m. at Eternal Life Embassy, 175 Adeyemi College Road beside Mercyland Hospital, Ondo. For more information, please call 0806-509-8130 or 0703-395-8818 or visit our website www.fmli.org. Remain blessed.